Today is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday where churches universal celebrate the fact that God is Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Trinity Sunday is always celebrated the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday, which was last Sunday. What a blessed thing it is that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This scripture that I'm going to read today has all three in it, and that's why it's a scripture for this Sunday. But I want to go a step deeper than talking about just the Trinity. So today I'm going to be reading from Matthew, the 28th chapter, starting in verse 16 through the end of the chapter, verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In the Gospel of Matthew, these are Jesus' last recorded words. And we have this thing about the last words of people. Normally, we often think about them and assign to them special significance. For me, this is a key section of the Scriptures. This is a key section of the Scriptures for me. Because Jesus is giving to his disciples, he's gathered with them at a mount in Galilee, we don't know exactly where, but he is there with them and they have been told to come. They're there present after his resurrection. This is right before his ascension. And he is there telling them what we consider to be the Great Commission. That's often what this section is talked about. These last words from Jesus Christ before his ascension are key for every believer and church. They are key. You cannot set them off to the side. These words that Jesus gives are key. They are his last words as he pronounces them to his disciples. They are words that they're going to remember, that they're going to take in, that they're going to spend some time thinking about, meditating on, and concentrating on what was he saying and what is he talking about. These words are key. This commission is more than just getting people to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. This commission that he gives is more than just getting people to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I want you to listen to his words again. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Folks, this commission is not just about getting people saved. This commission is not just about bringing people to the cross that they might accept what Jesus did for them on the cross. This commission is not about bringing new members into the church. It never even talks about that, does it? This commission, I'm going to say, and I know there's some that would disagree with me, is not about going. It is not about going. It's about making disciples. It is about teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to have new people come to Christ. And there are folks in our community right where we live. You have neighbors that do not know Jesus Christ. I had somebody one time tell me at a previous church, well, I don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. And I said, how many times when you drive to church on Sunday do you still see your neighbor's car parked in their driveway? How many neighbors on your street do you drive past and know that they have not gone to church today? There are people that are not disciples. There are people that are not learning how to obey what Jesus taught. You see, we need to have people come and accept Jesus Christ. To be reborn, in the words that Jesus uses in the third chapter of John with Nicodemus. To be reborn, to be renewed, to be at a beginning point again. The thing to learn is that's only a beginning point. That is not the accomplished task. The beginning point is when somebody comes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the beginning point. That's the birth of a new child in heaven. That is the beginning. But it should never stop there. There should always be spiritual growth. There should always be people coming and learning more about the Lord and living more in the Lord's ways. You've heard me say it this way. Church people don't like change. Heard that my whole ministry now for over 25 years. Church people don't like change. And I can't understand that. I cannot understand that. Because Christianity is all about changing. It's all about, from who you are, changing into the image of Jesus Christ. Becoming more like Christ. Learning more what Christ taught. Learning how to obey what God commands us. Now, I know very few people who start there. Yes, I know some people who have talked to me and told me they're perfect already and they don't need to change. And I bet you got to meet them too. And the very first thing in your head, you go, oh, yeah, but you do need to change. You see, we want other people to change, don't we? But we don't want to change. But being a disciple is learning how to live the way that God wants us to live. And the reason I say that this commission is not about going is because making this commission about going, a lot of people have washed their hands of it then. I don't have to do that. I'm not a missionary. I didn't go, so I don't have to make disciples. I want to let you know, and I've shared this with you before, the Greek word there for go can be translated two ways. And it still makes me scratch my head when it's translated as an imperative which says go. Because it can also be translated, the very exact same spelling can be translated as you are going, therefore, make disciples. It can also be translated that way. I find very few versions that translate it that way. I think that's the way it should be translated. It's not about going and being a missionary. It's about making disciples. That's the command, is to make disciples, not to go so much. Jesus already assumed that people were going to be going. Jesus already assumed that they're going to go out there and live their lives. While you're out there living your lives, make disciples. Now you know where this starts. Well, first off, this commission is to make disciples and to teach them how to obey everything God commands. Do you know how to do that? If that's our commission, do you know how to do it? If that's the commission that's been given to us, do you know how to do it? Do you know where it starts? You must be a disciple first, so you can make disciples. This is not an option. I worked for 12 years as an electronics mechanic. That's my trade. My degree is in forestry and wildlife, and I never worked in that field. I worked as an electronics mechanic for 12 years on Navy contracts. I know how to take things mechanically apart and put them back together. Even if I have never seen it before, oftentimes I can take it apart. When I get a new toy at home, my first instruction from my wife quite often is, not read the instructions, the first instruction is you can't take it apart till it breaks. Because the very first thing I want to do is take it apart and figure out how it works and why it works and what makes it work that way. That's my trade. And I worked that for 12 years. Bring me something mechanical and I might be able to tell you what needs to be done to get it fixed. Okay? I worked with the electronics technicians. I did mechanical movements. I did hydraulics. I did assembly of stuff. Don't bring me your DVD player if it doesn't work. I probably can't fix it unless it's part of the mechanical movement. I don't know how to fix all those little chips and resistors and capacitors and all those different things on the circuit boards. I probably can chase it down and tell you this circuit board's bad, you got to get another one. And in this day and age, that means just go buy another machine. Because to buy another machine is cheaper than buying that circuit board and getting it put in. But if it's a mechanical movement, I probably can help you with that. How did I learn how to do that? I wasn't brought up that way. That was not my college education. Well, I started my profession 22 years old as a person who sanded wet fiberglass. In order to sand it down and make it look nice and pretty so it could be painted and put back on the ship. Let me tell you, that was an experience. Because the shop that we worked in did not have heat. You had one of these nice gas heaters that you could set next to you that blew heat on you. But if you got any further than a couple of feet away from it, you could forget that. And I'm sitting there with a piece of sandpaper and water sanding fiberglass in 30-degree weather. Not something I enjoyed. But as I continued to work at the company that I worked at, because I stayed there for 12 years, they taught me a little piece on this, and they taught me a little piece on this, and they taught me a little piece on this. Unfortunately, I never learned how to weld. That's something I still want to learn how to do. And I didn't learn how to do what they call pipe fitting. So my plumbing works, but it's not the best. I can get something fixed underneath the sink because I know how it's supposed to be, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the best and it's going to look the best. But everything else mechanically wise, I learned how to do on the job. And over the course of 12 years, they taught me how to do that. Folks, I couldn't teach anybody else how to do it unless I learned it first. And one of the things that for me was the saddest part of my job is that they would send Navy sailors who had just come out of what they call A school, which means they were supposed to have complete schooling on everything they were going to work on. And they would send those guys to me so I could train them after they'd been to school on how to work on their equipment. Because school didn't get it. Somebody in school told them what the textbook said. They needed somebody who had had hands-on and done the work to be able to explain to them. Folks, If our commission is to make disciples, you can't do it unless you're one first. You cannot do it unless you're one first. And I know through the majority of Christianity, many people have thought that being a disciple is something optional, additional, that a Christian could do. Nope. Go and read Jesus' words. He talks again and again about being a disciple. Not just in his last words, but he talks about it in many other places. Being a disciple is not an option if you got time to do it. It's not an option if you're more pious than the other people in the church. It's not an option if you're more holy than other folks, or more dedicated than other folks, or more committed than other folks. Being a disciple is necessary for you to grow in your faith. That's why on Sunday mornings I do the Principles of Faith class, because I want to give people an introduction to the Scriptures in such a way that they know how to find in the Scriptures what they need to find about forgiveness, about faith, about fighting our enemy. I want them to know where these things are. God has given us this resource, and many people don't know how to use the resource. I have had many people through my ministry come and ask me, "Pastor, I'm going to the Christian bookstore this week. What book can I pick up that will help me to grow in my faith?" Do you know how hard it is not to look at them and go, "You got a Bible?" That's pretty much the only book you need. You don't need to buy the popular bestseller. You need a Bible, and you need to get into your Bible. Are you a disciple? It's not an option. I've had people come and tell me, "Pastor, that's too hard. That's too difficult. I don't know how to do it. I'm an old person." Not any. I know none of you are, okay? "I'm an old person and I can't learn anything new." Folks, it's not an option. Let's stop making it an option. What did Jesus say? "As you are going," the way I like to translate it, "make disciples." And in order for you to make a disciple, you got to be one. Just as when I was in a mechanic, I could only teach somebody how to do it after I've done it. Teaching from the textbook doesn't always work. And many of you know that. It gives you good principles, good ideas, good thought processes, but sometimes it's the hands-on that needs to be done before you can actually pass that on to somebody else. I can give you a principle, but without knowing how to apply it. As you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know that's your responsibility? To teach other people everything that God has commanded for us to do. It's not just my responsibility. It's not. The coach of the football team doesn't play on the field. Did you ever realize that? The manager of the baseball team doesn't play on the field. It's the players, right, that do that. What's the coach's or the manager's responsibility? To prepare the players to play the game. And to manage that game, okay, as a baseball manager, to manage that, try to figure out how to do it. What's my role as a pastor? I see that one of my primary roles as a pastor is to teach you how to be a disciple so that you can teach other people how to be a disciple. That's my role. Doesn't cut me out from making disciples. doesn't keep me from doing that. But my job is to inspire you, to encourage you, to get out on the playing field and to play the game. And in this sense, the game is making disciples and teaching people how to obey everything that God commands. Are you being a disciple? Are you making disciples? Now, here's the most exciting thing about this for me. It's with power from Christ and the Holy Spirit walking with us that we're able to do this commission. It's with power from Christ and the Holy Spirit walking with us that we're able to do this commission. You might be sitting there going, Pastor, I don't know how to be a disciple. I don't know how to live as a disciple. I don't know how to teach another person to be a disciple. Guess what? God is going to supply every bit of power you need for that. God is going to supply every bit of insight that you need for that. God is going to bring you the wisdom, the guidance, the understanding on how to help people. Now, I wish I could design a program to make disciples. It's not possible. Yeah, I know some of you are looking at me. I've got a book that I've been using for a number of years now to teach people how to be disciples. It is not possible to design a program. Why? Because every person is different. And every person has different needs to learn how to be a disciple. So you've got to master all of them. But the exciting thing is that God's going to bring you the power to do that. Going to bring you the insight, the understanding, the wisdom, the guidance. The Holy Spirit is within us that we might be able to do that. Why are churches failing? Two reasons. The first, some churches are not bringing people to Christ. The second, they may be birthing new Christians, but they're not teaching them how to live. Would you go to the hospital and have a baby and come home and set it on the doorstep and say, I brought you into this world, have fun? And close your door and say, I've done what I needed to do. And you see, that's what most churches are doing. They're bringing new people to Christ, but then they don't teach them how to be a disciple. They don't teach them how to live the life. They don't teach them how to obey what God's commanded. And since they don't do that, 6 months down the road, you don't see them at church anymore. Think about that. Many of you have been in church much longer than I have. You've seen new people come to Christ, and you've seen people excited about living the faith. 6 months, a year down the road, you don't see them anymore. Am I correct? Amen. Nobody taught them how to live the Christian life. We kind of expected them to get it, didn't we? Well, they'll get it if they come to church every week. That doesn't happen. Doesn't happen that way. I want to ask you the first part of the question. Are you living as a disciple? Are you living as a disciple? The second part of the question is, are you making disciples? I've asked you before, where is your spiritual child? Where is your spiritual grandchild? Many of you would love to show me pictures of your grandchildren. I got some of my grandchildren I'd love to show you. Two biologically and two that are part of the family now. See me afterwards, I'll show you. Deanne's got some too, she'll show you. Do you have pictures of your spiritual grandchildren? Do you have pictures of your spiritual children? Are you making it? Are you a disciple? And are you making disciples? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because this is difficult. This is hard. And sometimes, Lord, we just feel at a loss on how to do it. But we can't get around the fact that Jesus said that we should be making disciples. Not just the simple fact of helping people find salvation and eternal life. But we should teach them much more. And we should lead them much deeper in the faith. And Lord, I'm convinced by reading Scripture and listening to you that if more churches did this, the church would be expanding in this country in such dynamic ways. Lord, give us a heart for your commission. Help us to know that this commission is for all of us, not just for the chosen few that go overseas to share the words of Jesus Christ, but it's for every believer and every church. Guide us ever deeper in your ways, that we might truly be that kind of people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.